Hello, my name is B. Martin, and I'm glad to be back with you again for this fourth and final discussion on this series of topics that we've been discussing on spiritual growth. In their previous talks, I've tried to share with you what I understand spiritual growth to be, and I would like to do that again in this talk as well. As I understand spiritual growth, I see it being kind of in two parts. The first part has to do with me growing in my relationship with God, where I am coming to know God more of his thoughts, more of his feelings, his desires, his motives. And as I begin to pursue a deeper relationship with God, God begins to reveal more of himself to me. The second part of spiritual growth that I see is also that as I begin to have a deeper relationship with God, that he begins to work in me, and I begin to allow him to work in me to make changes on me on the inside, so that really my thoughts are really flooded with his thoughts, and that my desires have been overtaken by his desires. And he begins to fill me in such a way that I begin to grow to be more and more like him, and therefore I begin to live more and more like God created me to live. And in both of these things happening together, me growing in relationship with God and growing to be more like him, is where I see spiritual growth to really blossom into being really what God is intended for me in having a relationship with him and growing to be more like him. As I've shared with you in the previous discussions, there are often times and have been many times throughout my life and in relationship with God that I place barriers, that I put things in the way that hinder me from growing in relationship with God and growing to become more and more like him. And I share with you six barriers that I have placed up in my life over the years that God has allowed me to be aware of so that I don't allow these things to stop me from growing spiritually. In the last lesson that I was with you, I talked about some of the ways that God has helped me to knock down some of the walls of the first three. So I would like from this point on to pick up with the fourth, fifth, and sixth barrier that I have placed in my life at different times and talk about some of the things that God has helped me to not only knock down those barriers with, but also to replace those things with something that would help me to really grow more in my relationship with God and becoming more of who God wants me to be. So in the fourth barrier of having a fearful lifestyle, I believe God has challenged me to have a faith-filled lifestyle. Fear in so many ways hinders us from growing spiritually, whether it's fear of coming to know God more and in knowing God more, fearful that in knowing him that he will begin to change things about me. He will begin to bring things out about my life that need to change, and I'm afraid to grow spiritually because I don't want to make changes in my life. So maybe the fear of change. It could also be the fear of, as God is changing me, as I am growing to be more like God, that the fear of what other people may think about me. But I also see that there's times that I have a struggle in my life with the fear of failure, to make a commitment to God and growing more in relationship with him. And so many times I'm hesitant in doing that with fear because I am afraid that somehow I won't be able to hold up on my end of the commitment, that somehow I will fail God. So therefore, I don't pursue a deeper spiritual growth, a deeper relationship with God, a deeper change in my life because I'm afraid that I somehow may fail God. And what I believe that God has challenged me with over the years when I sense and he allows me to be aware of the fact that fear is hindering me from growing spiritually is to have a faith-filled lifestyle. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 24 and 27, the Hebrew writer says this, "By faith, Moses left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible." It was because of Moses' faith in God that allowed him to overcome this fear of what the Pharaoh could do to him. And it allowed Moses to be faithful and to persevere through the hard times, through the challenges that he faced from the Pharaoh, because he knew God, because he had a deep faith in God who is invisible. And I believe often in my relationship with God, that is the thing that's going to help me to overcome this barrier of fear. Having strong faith in God that will help me to overcome the fear of failure, overcome the fear of what others may think, overcome the fear of the changes that God will be challenging me to have in my life. So a faithful life is a life that is constantly depending on a God that we cannot see. And faith gives us this confidence, this assurance that though we don't see God with our physical eyes, we believe and are convinced that he is present because of what is around us and because of the ways that he has also been working in our lives, providing, strengthening, healing, leading, forgiving, saving us. And in having this strong faith in God and who he is and what he can do, it allows me to desire him more. It allows me to trust him more. As I trust him more, I begin to grow more in my relationship with him. And he begins to strengthen me and give me the things that I need in order to be more of who he wants me to be. And I trust that he is working in me, changing my thoughts, changing my heart as I ask him, as I pray to him and open myself to him, become more vulnerable to him so that he can make the change on the inside. And I believe that he is doing that. It talks about in Philippians chapter 1 that he who began this work in us will bring it to completion. And I believe that God is committed to making us more like Jesus. He is committed to making us who he created us to be loving and joyful, patient and peaceful and kind, people who are living lives that are allowing him to flow through us, to share his good news to those around us, to serve those that God brings our way. And God can help us to be all that he wants us to be and to know him deeply if we would just have the faith in him that he can do everything, that there is nothing impossible for God, that there is no sin that I have committed, there is no weakness that I have that God can't help me to overcome, to have victory in. But I must have this faith that there is a God who is invisible, who is at work in my life on a moment by moment, a second by second basis. And when I have that strong faith that God is present and that God can provide, that God is powerful, that God can give me all that I need to be who he wants me to be, and that he really can make these changes in my life to make me more like him, that I will be able to overcome that fearful lifestyle of being fearful of change and fearful of people and fearful of failure. God can help me to overcome that and to really grow spiritually because of a faith that I have in him, that there is nothing impossible for God. So a faith-filled lifestyle is what can really replace that fear that can be that barrier that hinders us growing spiritually. The fifth barrier that we have discussed in the past has been a heartless lifestyle. And I believe that God has challenged me over the years to replace this heartless lifestyle with a wholehearted lifestyle. As we talk about a heartless lifestyle, that we may be going through the motions, whether it be spiritually in a relationship with God, where we're just going through the motions of, okay, I'll pray and I'll read my Bible and I'll go and fellowship with believers. But we're not doing this wholeheartedly. We're doing this heartlessly. And God really challenged the Pharisees in the book of Matthew, where it says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I want to be this person where I'm saying with my lips to God, I love you, and God, I want to serve you, and I want to be like you want me to be. But on the inside, my heart really isn't there. My heart really is just saying those things, maybe to try to impress other people, maybe saying those things to try to impress God in some way when I really don't mean that, and knowing that God does know my heart. It could be a lot of different ways in which we go through the motions of doing things that may be good things, and maybe even things that God is even commanding us to do, but we do it without our heart. And in that, we begin over time to realize that we are drifting away from God and we don't have that closeness with God. We don't have that depth of relationship with him. And we see ourselves not growing to be more like God. As a matter of fact, we see ourselves doing things that God would not approve of because we're just slowly drifting away because our heart really isn't in to what we're doing in our relationship with God, to grow, to be more like him, to grow more in knowing him. So in replacing this with a wholehearted lifestyle, God can again knock down that wall, that barrier of a heartless lifestyle, and see us wholeheartedly doing the things that God is calling us to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, not just a part of your heart, not some of your heart, not even most of your heart. Jesus says with all of your heart to love God. And I believe that we have to be at that point in order to knock down this wall of this heartless lifestyle, of this kind of going through the motions, where we're coming to God with our whole heart and say, God, I love you with every part of my heart, every part of my emotion, every part of my motive has to do with loving you and wanting to please you, God. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, where he says to serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man. That as we are living our lives, as I am living my life, that I am serving God wholeheartedly, that I am serving other people wholeheartedly, because as I am serving them, I realize that I am really serving God. So I don't want to half-heartedly or part of the way from my heart or to serve or to love or to give or to share in life. I want to do it wholeheartedly with all that I am and all of my emotion, all of my motive to be surrendered to God so that he can use me, so that he can grow me, so that he can draw me deeper in my relationship with him, so that I don't do this half-hearted or even no-hearted type of rituals or going through the motions, but that I'm doing it with all my heart because I am wanting to pursue God. I am wanting to know him intimately. I am wanting to become more and more like him. I am wanting to live the way that he wants me to live. So I do this with a passion, with a hunger, with the desire, with my whole heart. And when I am living my life wholeheartedly in love with God, wholeheartedly serving him and serving others, because I know that in serving others, I'm serving him, then I will grow spiritually. I will come to know him more. And God tells me that when we seek after him with our whole heart, we will find him. And often I know in my life when I begin to pursue God in this half-hearted way, or maybe just my heart's not into it at all, I know I don't find God. And I begin to question in my faith, what am I doing? Why am I praying these prayers? Why am I reading the Bible when I really am not into it with my whole heart? And God challenges me, and I believe his spirit often convicts me when I'm like this and raises the standard for me to say, this is where I need you to be. I can't let you do this half-heartedly. And this is why you're feeling this distance. And I believe at those moments, there's often times that I don't necessarily respond the way that I need to, but by the grace of God and his spirit being patient with me, he will lead me into being more and more aware that, yes, this is the reason why. The reason why this distance is there. This reason why I am not sensing this closeness. The reason why there's not growth happening in different areas in my life to be more like God is because I know I'm not doing this wholeheartedly. And I confess to God, God, forgive me for just going through the motions, for just saying the words and not really praying with my heart and read the word and not really reading it with my heart of really wanting to learn from you. And when I make that confession, I begin to wholeheartedly invest myself in a relationship with God and in growing and being more who God wants me to be. The barrier of heartless living is knocked down, and this wholehearted lifestyle begins to draw me closer and closer to not only knowing God, but also being more of who God wants me to be. The sixth barrier that we've talked about has been a sinful lifestyle, just a lifestyle in which we understand really what sin is, where in one sense, sin is when God has commanded me to do something and I don't do what he commands me to do, or it's a situation in which God tells me to not do something, but I do it anyway. So it can really come on both sides of really what sin is. And when I'm aware of the fact that God has challenged me to live, to think, to feel a certain way, and I just refuse to do what he tells me to do in that, that is sin. And God makes me aware of that so many times. I go, ah, God, forgive me, please. I know this is what you wanted me to do, and I have not done it. God, forgive me. And also times when I have sense in my life where God is saying, don't do this, B. Don't go down this road. Don't do this thing. Don't have this thought. Don't have this feeling. And I do it anyway, even though he's telling me not to. And afterwards, when I allow the Spirit of God to convict me in that. I am often remorseful and coming to God for forgiveness. And when I see this sinful lifestyle, it's not just struggling just here and there in a sin, but really desiring to want to be what God wants us to be and having this remorse in our heart. But it even talks more of this sinful lifestyle being where I have just decided that I'm going to sin regardless of what God has said, regardless of what God has told me to do, regardless of what God has told me not to do. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to go on and continue to sin. And the people, even in Jesus' time, after Jesus was here, struggled with that same thought where they just really weren't remorseful anymore. And this is where there's a challenge of wondering, are people really walking in relationship with God when we are just sinning and there's no remorse in our heart at all? And what God wants to replace that with is a different type of living. Instead of being someone who is a slave to sin, he wants us to replace that sinful lifestyle to be slaves to righteousness. And when we have a slave to righteousness lifestyle, there's still that desire in us to be a slave. But instead of being a slave to sin, we are a slave to righteousness, to what God believes is right. And in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul says this, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." This is what can knock down that barrier of a sinful lifestyle. And that is to replace being a slave to sin, a slave to doing what we want to do. And we replace that with being slaves to righteousness, slaves that want to do what's right in the eyes of God, slaves of hungering to know what God believes is right, what God says is right, and then being convicted, being a slave to being obedient to what God says is right. I feel like so many times in my life when sin is ruling over me to some degree, some area of sin has got me enslaved, and I have allowed it really to enslave me. I have to come to God with a heart of remorse, a heart of wanting to repent, wanting to change and no longer sin. But when I have that desire to stop doing the sin, I've got to replace it with something else. It can't just be a saying no to what's wrong. It's got to also be a saying yes to what is right. And when we say yes to what is right, we begin to hunger to do more of what is right, what God believes is right. And then I begin to understand that it's not about me. Life isn't about what I think is right. Life isn't about me being happy. It's not about what I feel. It's about what God thinks is right. It's about what God feels is good. And when I begin to understand more that this is what I was created for, that I was created to honor God and to live my life in a way that reflects my love and appreciation for Him, for who He is, my Creator, my Savior, my Lord, my friend, my Father, my Provider. And as I have that faith that He is all of these things in my life, that I begin to surrender myself willingly to Him, to know that as I am a slave to God, that I don't have to be fearful that He's going to mistreat me, that I don't have to be fearful that He's going to harm me or bring some type of things in my life that's going to distance me from Him. But the things that He's going to bring in my life are going to help me to draw closer to Him. Sometimes those things will be good things that I say, oh, I'm glad that God brought this into my life. But sometimes there may be challenges, things that may really test my faith in whether or not He is really with us and that He really loves me. But in knowing that He is a God who is good and that He is God who loves us and has great plans for us and wants us to stay in relationship with Him and wants us to be with Him for all eternity, I begin to know that I can trust Him as my master and that I will be a slave to Him and slave to His ways, slave to what He thinks is right, because I know whatever He is asking me to do or not to do is good. And it's something that's going to help me in relationship with Him. It's going to be something that's going to help me become more like Him. It's going to be something that's going to help me to live my life in such a way that will bring glory to Him. So instead of living my life being a slave to my own passions, my own selfish desire, my own sinful desires, I replace and knock down that wall with having a lifestyle of being a slave to righteousness and just surrendering and submitting, giving myself over, my mind, my heart, my body, my lips, my hands, my feet, everything that I am. I surrender myself to my master God and what he thinks is right and how he wants me to live my life. And when I am living that type of a lifestyle, I will grow spiritually because I will know him more, I will trust him more, and I will become more like him, and I will be living my life the way that he created me to live. So as we conclude here, I pray these things have been an encouragement to you as they have been for me, because I really want to, and I hope that you want to as well, to grow spiritually, to want to be people who really want to know God, who really want to become more like God, to be people that God can work through so that he can allow us to live the way he intended us to live. And in this hunger, this desire, this passion we have to grow spiritually, that we will be people who will not shrink back, people who will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, that when he is trying to bring some awareness in our lives, that we are doing things that are hindering us from growing spiritually, that we will be people that will surrender to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, and that we will follow him wholeheartedly and live our lives so that we can really knock down these barriers and continue in this pursuit of growing spiritually so that he receives all the glory in our lives. So may this be our passion and the way that we live our lives from now until the time that we see him face to face.
'Cause we're serving his name, and we're sharing his name. Yeah, yeah. God gave his only son to die, so we offer him all our lives. And we're loving. In his name.